Blog Talk Radio.
And it's Talking Sports with Mike T. I'm your host, Mike Tremontozzi, here with you for the next half hour as we go over everything in the world of sports. Kind of a downtime right now. You have a week before training camps start in the NFL. You've got the MLB All-Star break. And you've got NBA Summer League going on. But, you know, nothing of note going on right now. Obviously, you have in baseball the biogenesis problem, whether or not the reports that TJ Quinn had over the weekend that they're going to suspend a bunch of people after the All-Star game is true or not, you know, nobody knows. Obviously, with about, most teams are around 90 to 95 games played right now, and at the All-Star break, the Yankees find themselves 6 games out of first place at 51-44. According to ESPN, just a 20% chance of making the playoffs, which is not obviously where the Yankees want to be with their anemic offense and their pitching that is now starting to fail them a bit. You know, they needed a big effort from Sabathia yesterday, and the defense didn't help them out. But Sabathia cannot give up 8 runs. Whether or not they were all earned is a different story, but 8 runs is something he cannot do, especially with this offense. There's just not enough offensive firepower to overcome that. You're sitting there at 8-1, and the game's over. And, you know, the announcers have to say, oh, don't worry, there's still a lot of baseball left. Not with this team, there's not. Not when you're knocking around Luis Cruz and Jason Nix and Eduardo Nunez and Vernon Wells and Travis Hafner. I mean, they're lucky that Lyle Overbay is giving them 11 home runs, because without that, they'd be dead in the water. They may be 7 games under 500 instead of 7 games over 500. You know, they're now 3.5 games back at Tampa Bay for second place, 2.5 game and a half back of Baltimore for third place. They're sitting with a good enough cushion, 5.5 games up on Toronto. But, you know, all it takes is one bad week from this Yankee lineup in Toronto to get hot, and, you know, the Yankees could be looking at last place. I said at the beginning of the year that this team was in trouble. You know, I was worried about the fact that all these guys got hurt, and that you can't, at some point, you can't rely on guys in their late 30s to continue to be the guys that they were. You know, outside of Rivera, who's been Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter's played 1 game and went 1-for-4. Alex Rodriguez still hasn't played, and he's only got 3 hits in his rehab stints. Andy Pettit is under 500 this year, you know, with an ERA in the 4s. Phil Hughes hasn't helped him, you know. 18 of the home runs he's 12 of the 18 home runs he's given up have been at home, so it tends to lend itself to the thought that he's just a pitcher in a bad, you know, bad ballpark. Pettit on the year is 7-6, but he hasn't, since he came back from the DL, he has not pitched well. His ERA is 4.4. And you just look at his game log, and there are these games that the, first off, the people want to claim all of these gutty efforts, but I mean, there's only been 3 games that he started that he's given up under two runs or less. You know, those were 3 of his first 4 starts. Outside of that, 4 2/3, 4 earned runs. Then you look at Anaheim, 7 innings, 4 runs. Tampa Bay, 6 2/3, 5 earned runs. Texas, 6 innings, 3 runs. And then the last couple starts, I mean, 6 2/3, 3 earned runs, but he gave up 4 runs. He's only given up under 2, even in the games where he's given up 3 runs. You know, Texas scored 4 runs, 3 were earned. 4 runs against Minnesota in July 1st. Yankees won 10-4. Five and two-thirds, 4 runs, 3 earned against the Royals. They won 8-4. So you see that he's getting some run support. They scored 7 runs for him in Cleveland. But you know, he's not pitching well, and he even said it's grind for him right now. In his last 6 starts, his ERA is 5.4 instead of 4.4. It's gone a full run up. And I don't even know if that is going to I don't know. I don't think skipping him is going to be is going to help. I mean, he's 41 years old. This is the problem you have where you rely on these people. At some point, they break down. At some point, they break down, and you just can't assume that they're going to just play to their baseball cards. Just doesn't. I don't know. I don't think it's a good. Listen, the Yankees made their own bed. Unfortunately, the Yankees made their own bed, and basically they went and said we're going to continue to, you know, live with these, you know, superstars that are, you know, they're going to come back and we'll be okay. Well, Derek Jeter played 1 game, got 4 at-bats, didn't even play the field. All he did was run around the bases a couple times. And now he has a pulled quad. Maybe he goes on the DL, maybe he doesn't. But Andy Pettit, 41 years old, got an ERA of 4.4 for the year. He's pitched into a 5 and change ERA over his last 6 starts. 41 years old. Alex Rodriguez, 37 years old, hasn't even played in the major leagues yet this year and has only had 3 hits in his minor league rehab stints. So, I mean, even if he comes back next week, like they're saying, when his you know, rehab clock is up, is he even going to be good? I mean, the assumption that, oh, when they come back, it'll lengthen the lineup and it'll, you know, split up these lefties and it'll give Joe Girardi some options. But you're just assuming that they're going to be good. I don't understand it. You know, the Red Sox went through this problem last year where everybody got hurt, everybody got down on Bobby Valentine, and they had one of their worst years in recent memory. This year, everybody's healthy. They have some different people, and John Lackey's actually pitching to a 2.8 ERA, so, I mean, that's amazing. David Ortiz is healthy, leading the team in pretty much every offensive category. Jacoby Ellsbury's healthy, leading the team. He's got 60 runs scored already. And you just see that health and some younger guys coming up, whether it's, you know, for the Red Sox, they've had a couple guys come up that are, you know, not even just Will Middlebrooks, Holt, Karp, you know, Snyder. These are all guys, Middlebrooks has been, Jackie Bradley's been up and down. Iglesias has been insane. 180 at bats, he's batting 367. And these are all that influx of youth that has helped. Obviously, when you get your stars to be pitching well, Buchholz and Lester are definitely having, you know, bounce back years. But John Lackey, 7-6. You know, with a 2.78 ERA, I don't know if anybody saw that coming. Duperrant, 6-3 with a 3.91. You know, Lester's been up and down. His ERA's a little high, but he's pitched better than he did last year. That's for sure. And Buchholz, obviously, 9-0 with a 1.71 ERA. I mean, he's obviously the ace of the staff when he comes back. They move Uehara to the closer's role. He's got 8 saves with a 1.7 ERA, 60 strikeouts in 42 innings. They've realized, look at Brandon Workman this year. First start of the year last year, takes a no-hitter into the 7th inning. So I don't know where the Yankees are going to get. They don't obviously have these ready young guys that some of the Red Sox had. And they are instead making their hay with getting their older stars back. There's a reason why the rest of the division caught up to them. The Rays, the Orioles, maybe the Blue Jays. But the Yankees never developed their minor leaguers. They develop them to a point, and then they want to ship them off for the next star who's healthy or available. 32 years old. Here we go. The Yankees are going to give up their top four prospects to get him. Why? That was their mantra for 10 years, and it finally bit them in the behind this year. And it's just, unfortunately, it's the way of the world. They're in position, and they're saying all the right things about how they're feeling good. They're within striking distance, and they can't wait to get all their cavalry back. Well, you got Derek Jeter back, and he lasted one day. Alex Rodriguez hasn't even played yet. Kurt Granderson played, what is it, 8 games, I think it was, and he's out. So I just don't. I don't know. I think people are being a little bit too excited waiting for these guys to come back, because there's no guarantee they're going to come back or at least be productive when they do. If Derek Jeter misses a week, say with this quad, and goes on the 15-day DL, now you're talking August. And their schedule is not easy coming out of the break. You look at the teams they've got to face, 3 against the Red Sox, 4 against the Rangers, 3 against the Rays. That's a very big stretch of games that may or may not determine their season. Because if they play poorly in that stretch, then they're in trouble. Remember when this team was 30-18? After that extra inning win against the Rays on Memorial Day weekend, it has gone down the tubes since then. From 30-18 to 51-44. I don't think it's getting any easier. When you come out of that second half of the year with 10 games follow against those teams in the American League, only 3 of which are at home. So they start the second half with 7 games on the road. Then they go 3 home before going on another 8-game road trip. So the Yankees are playing 8-7 is 15 of their next 18 games on the road. Okay, the White Sox and Padres are not good, so that's okay. The Dodgers are red hot. The Rays are red hot. Texas is right there in the wild, one of the 2 wild cards. And the Red Sox are winning the division. With these 12 games left in July, does the Yankees go anything less than 8-4? I think the season's over. Because August, after that stretch of games against the White Sox and Padres 6, then it's Detroit, Anaheim, Boston, Toronto, Tampa, Toronto, Baltimore. Right now the Yankees face 3, 4, 5. If it's the Angels, Toronto, White Sox. Well, let's not count the White Sox and Padres. We know they're under 500. So they face the White Sox again. So that's 3. And then the Giants and Astros are also under 500. That's 5 teams the rest of the season that are under 500. They face the division a ton of times. They face the Red Sox a ridiculous amount of times. They still have multiple 3 series left with the Blue Jays. 2 series left with the Orioles. 3 left with the Rays. You know, The Yankees right now, unfortunately, are in the tougher part of their schedule, and this 12-game stretch after the All-Star break, I think, is their toughest. Because the Angels are difficult. The Angels play the Yankees well. Toronto's, no one knows anymore what Toronto can do. But there's never that stretch again. You know, even the Giants can turn things around, and that's at the end of September. Who knows? By that point, both teams could be out of it. And they face, it's funny. Right now, I don't think those three games against the Astros to end the season are going to mean anything. They're on the road in Houston. Who cares? I honestly really don't think they're going to mean anything. I don't think it's going to be one of those, we need to win these to get in, or, you know, let's rest our guys because we've got things accomplished. Nope. I think the Yankees will be out of it by then. They won a lot of games at the beginning of the year based off of maybe luck. You know, crazy comebacks. There were those games that the Yankees beat the Orioles in at the beginning of the year where the Orioles couldn't catch the ball. Do you remember the games against the Diamondbacks where Cervelli hit some home run to tie it? They struggled against the Astros at the beginning of the year, so I don't know why anybody would think the Astros at the end of the year are going to be tough. No, they are what they are. They're an average team. And I don't see anything coming back that's going to make them above average, that's going to let them jump the Rays, jump the Orioles, or jump the Red Sox. And you look at the wild card standings, I mean, do you think the Yankees at this point in time are going to, with three games back of the two wild cards, going to jump Texas? You know, they're tied with Cleveland. Are they going to jump Cleveland? I don't see it. I don't see it. And I don't think it's being an anti-Yankee fan. I don't think it's being any. I think it's just being a realist. This is not a good team. It's a team that overachieved in the first half of the year, but you see the beginnings of a slide. Unless those guys come back and they're 29 instead of 39, I mean, this is what you have. At some point, these old guys become old. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing terrible about that. It's just the way it goes. It's the natural occurrence. Players get worse the older they get. And we spent enough time in the last 20 years of Major League Baseball players getting better as they got older to where now, when natural things happen, like players get old and players get worse, now people are shocked by that. How could you say Derek Jeter is going to get bad? Derek Jeter hit 320 2 years ago. Derek Jeter's 39 years old. I'm not going to assume that that's the norm. I think that's the exception. I think he's going to be more like the 270, 275 hitter he was the 2 years before that. Around the rest of it, obviously Tampa Bay, red hot, has won 11 to 12. They're now sitting comfortably in second place, leading one of the wild cards. They faced, you know, they come out of the second break with a series against the Blue Jays. They've got insane amounts of pitching. Insane amounts of pitching. Archer threw his first career complete game against the Astros yesterday. They've had guys like Colomé. They've gotten a lot more out of Roberto Hernandez / Fausto Carmona than I think anybody could have imagined. You know, Colomé pitched pretty well, 1-1 with a 2.25 ERA. Obviously, Archer 4-3 with a 2.96. Cobb, when he comes back, was 6-2 with a 3.01. Matt Moore going to the All-Star game is 13-3 with a 3.44. Rodney isn't as good as he was last year, but his ERA is still respectable, 3.79. Price 3.94, and this is really without really anything from Helixson. You know, he's 8-3, but he's got a 4.67 ERA, which is, you know, a lot higher than I think a lot of people thought he would be. And then, like I said, you know, Roberto Hernandez is 5-10, but he's given them innings. He's given them 108 innings. That's a lot more and a little bit better production than I think they could have asked for. But they've got some hitting this year, which I think is a really key when you talk about Tampa Bay. James Loney's batting 315 with 9 homers and 43 RBIs. Will Myers came up in June, 288, 3 homers, 15 RBIs. Obviously, Longoria's their best player, 280, 18 and 52. Luke Scott's given them some good production of late. Desmond Jennings has really turned it on, 11 homers. He's got 15 stolen bases, which leads the team. The next closest guy is Kelly Johnson with 7. Matt Joyce has 6. He's got, you know, a 240 batting average, but he's got 14 homers. Kelly Johnson has 13 homers. Now, when the Rays have more homers than the Yankees do, that's a problem. I think that's usually not how those two teams are constructed. You know, and the Yankees have really had a severe power outage of late. Where, you know, the home run hit yesterday by, Ichiro, was the only homer not hit by a guy named Cano or Overbay in like 15 or like 30 games. You know, right now the Yankees have 88 home runs as a team. 88. That's just not going to get it done. And now you're relying on guys like Hafner, who was falling off a cliff. His average is down to 218. Overbay's played well. His average is at 250. Vernon Wells has gone in the tubes, 238. We shall see, but right now I wouldn't expect much if I were the Yankees or Yankee fans. But listen, there's a reason why there's still 60-some-odd games left. So we shall see, but I'd like to thank everybody for listening. We're unfortunately out of time, so I hope everybody enjoys their week, and we'll see everybody back here at the same time. So everybody take care.